Now, I had another song lined up here, but I'm going to move on straight into the next set of reading because I don't want to miss it. I tell you, I could use about 10 more hours a day to talk to you. We've been moving through on Wednesdays Martin Chemnitz's Enchiridion. Remember this? His teaching tool, catechism-like question and answer tool for preparing and training pastors in the faith, which, frankly, back in the day when the average layperson couldn't even read, maybe it wasn't for you, but since now you can read, it's totally for you. You can totally handle it. And it's got answers. This is what's so great about it. The answers aren't just like, well, here's what we think. It's, and here's some Bible verses. Go look them up. And he gives you a lot of them. So we're barely moving through this thing because I'm taking the time to make us go look at these things. And we've just been on this question, you know, one little bit a week. It takes a while to move. This question, what then is the office of ministers in the church? And a question which in our gray and latter days is very important because there's a lot of people out there who don't believe that the office of the ministry exists. They believe in rather sort of a communism Christianity, right? There is this priesthood of all believers. We've all been brought into the priesthood of Christ. But doesn't mean we all have the same vocation while we stand here. Right? We're not all going to do the same things, even in the congregation. And there is this particular job. It's not just a function. It's a job that needs to be done. And in one way, it's Christ's job. And this is amazing that he's left his job among sinful men. But he's also promised his spirit is with the office itself, because it's empowered exclusively by his word. The office itself is the power to preach the word. It is the word itself empowering you to preach. He's left his spirit with that word, so we know that even though left to ourselves, as Luther says in his sacristy prayer, we would bring it all to ruin. We know that we're relying on, again, this grace, which he sends. So studying this, well, where do you find that in the Bible, Pastor Fisk? Well, that's exactly the point. We want to check that out. And so what is the office of the ministry of the church? He says, first, the office or ministry has been committed and entrusted to them. That is, whatever men you put into it. We call them pastors these days. They haven't always called them that. Many different names in the history of the church. But the men who are sent to preach, it's been entrusted to them by God himself through a legitimate call to what? And this is what we're dwelling on. What's the job? To feed the church with true, pure, and salutary doctrine from the divine word. The job of the pastor is to speak the word of God in the congregation. Well, does that mean that the layperson can't speak the word of God? Well, why would you say that? What a silly thing to take from that. No, it just means there's only one guy who is his job to do it. Right? It's what he's supposed to do all the time, and you get to hold him accountable at a higher level. The average layperson's allowed to make a mistake from time to time. Pastor, well, he's allowed to. You really don't want him to, though, right? You want to confront him on it when he does. He needs to be trained. He needs to be prepared. He needs to be well-versed in what the scriptures say. And we've looked at Acts 20, 28. We looked at Ephesians 4, 11 last week. This week is 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 2, he gives us to convince us that the job of the pastor is to teach the pure, true, salutary doctrine. That is what the divine word of God, the scriptures, say. 1 Peter 5, 2 says this. It says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not by compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. And it goes on, and there's more. I'm going to read the whole section. We want to take this in context. But just notice right off the bat, shepherd the flock. The word shepherd is the word that comes down to us through several different languages and becomes the word pastor. The word pastor really never shows up in the Bible as a noun for us. You get false pastors, false shepherds, right? But it does come down to us as a verb. Shepherd the flock. And can you imagine a flock of all shepherds? You think about that. Like what? It just the metaphor totally just falls apart if you just have a bunch of shepherds sitting in a field with no sheep. So the reason this word is being used is because there's a task that needs to be done on behalf and for the congregation so that the congregation can be Christian and just go about living their lives, right? Living quiet and peaceful lives is our prayer's request. I mean, that's what I'm after most days is a quiet, peaceful life so that that can happen. So that we all don't have to have our consciences being bound to the ebb and flow of what goes on day in, day out in the congregation. God has appointed some to be shepherds, right? Pastors and teachers. That's what it said in Ephesians 4 last time. And here then you have an extension where Peter, in the close of his letter, is telling those shepherds, those pastors, who hear him how to do it and what to do. So in this sense, this text isn't written to everybody, although it is written to you, that you would know what to expect of your pastor, how to hold your pastor accountable, and how to encourage your pastor. So let's go back and pick it up. 5 verse 1, he says, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder." That is, I exhort the presbyteri among you as a fellow presbytero, a presbyter. It's an office. It's not just the elderly. Right. When you see that, and it's certainly not the lay elder system we have in the Missouri Synod. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not what this is talking about. That didn't exist back then like we have it today. It's an auxiliary office that we've created for good order. Nothing wrong with that. But here he's talking, I exhort the overseers, the elders, the pastors among you as a fellow pastor. And he's got more than that, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. So as a pastor, as an eyewitness to Jesus, as a Christian, three different things. You can be all three. You need to be one Christian, right? None of us get to be eyewitnesses except for the apostles and those who saw him, right? I don't get the eyewitness part. And then fellow elder, pastor. But I'm exhorting then those of you who would lead, shepherd, pastor, the flock of God that is among you. Do it. As a shepherd would lead sheep. Now, not with power, not with might, but with the word of God. Exercising oversight, though. Overseeing what? The truth. Wisdom. Law and gospel. Overseeing the congregation's health by giving them food. What did Jesus say to Peter? Feed my sheep. Same guy writing this. Not under compulsion, he says. Don't do it because you have to. If you have to, you should just resign. Quit. Go do something else. Not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. That is, for the sake of the word itself, because you believe it to be true, because you're convicted, because you are bound in conscience. So you can be compelled by conscience, but not by something else. Not for shameful gain. Not for a paycheck. This is probably the most important thing to know about most pastors. There's liars out there, but most pastors, they're not in it for the paycheck. If they were, they'd certainly be doing something else. They don't get paid nearly enough. They're not in it for the paycheck. They're in it for your conscience. They want to help your conscience. They want to set your conscience free, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. But then here's the verse 3, the warning, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock, right? Not by power, but by word and life. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. This, you get to be a Christian too. You won't lose your faith. Likewise, verse 5, you who are subject, you are younger, be subject to the elders. Right? If you're under the elders, be under the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, pastor and people, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We could certainly spend more time on that there, but we're going to run out of time here as it is. So we're going to go ahead and jump to a little bit of music. I'd like to have a better segue, but I don't. Jump to a little bit of music, and we'll be back in a moment with the New Testament reading. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. We are the messenger of good news. The good news pastors are sent to preach for you.